Good evening, good morning. Who knows what time is it? About
late.
Late.
It's late, Chad. Late. That's what time it is, Chad.
That's late. Welcome to Hoops HD Championship Week Video Notebook Day Number 10. 10th day of the week. Okay. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Slica and David Griggs here. We're going over news and notes, review and preview, conference tournament action. Who else knows what else we'll do? We're going to update you on the Hoops HD mock committee, which started its 2018 meetings tonight. I get everything?
I don't know. It's late.
Just today. About everything. We still have to give the puppet a chance to escape the puppet bunker with a trivia question.
Yeah, it's David, still in the puppet bunker. David, how is the bunker going? Have you got any food late?
It's terrible, Chad. Yeah, you sent me down some peanut butter crackers or something, but the food's terrible. I've gotten every trivia question right, by the way. Every single one.
Peanut butter crackers, that's it? Because tonight is the night of the Hoops HD pasta dinner.
Yeah, you all sent me... Oh, yeah, Chad sent down some ramen noodles while you all were up there eating, like, pasta primavera.
Unfortunately, he doesn't have any hot water in there, and they were still... not cooked, but David, I hope you enjoyed them. They were a little crunchy, right?
Why? I think next year we should put someone else in the puppet bunker.
Well, let's see. Maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we should put Sleek in there next year.
Hate the puppet bunker, Chad. I mean, I don't understand how this enhances anyone's enjoyment of championship week.
Let's start with news and notes. So there was one piece of news that came out today about Missouri. Michael Porter Jr. will be playing tomorrow, just limited minutes off the bench, but will be playing in their SEC tournament game tomorrow. Dave, what do you think that does to a team, somebody who's been out the entire season, has a chance to be a superstar coming back now?
Considering the role he's going to be playing, I don't think that it's going to be a negative impact. I think it'll either be as good as it's been or possibly better. It sounds like they're going to phase him in. I think that it's a positive. I mean, I just don't understand how suddenly having someone like him available is a bad thing for Mizzou.
I agree with you, especially if they're not going to be, immediately trying to count on him to lead the team. I think that's all the news. John, any other news today?
Nothing else that's going to be sticking out at the moment.
All right, then on we go. The game, let's start with the one automatic bid that was given out tonight in the Patriot League, where John Bucknell had pretty much zero problems whatsoever.
I mean, this game looked like maybe for the first 5 or 10 minutes it might be competitive, but Bucknell began to turn on the jets towards about this 8-minute mark in the first half and ended up leading by about 12 at halftime, but completely blew it open in the second half. So by the 3-minute mark, Bucknell was clearing their bench and getting everyone a chance to play in this game.
We've been real rough on Bucknell. I think they started off 0-4. We were expecting perhaps an at-large caliber team or a bubble caliber team. They certainly weren't that. But in the latter part of the season, at least in this tournament, I know they were at home, they were really, really, really playing well. How dangerous could they potentially be in the NCAA tournament?
I think they are a dangerous team. They're probably looking at a 14 seed also just because of the rougher start they got off to with the season. And that could be extremely dangerous because I think this is probably an 11 or 12 seed caliber team.
I think they can be, especially the way they've been playing throughout this tournament, minus the first game.
And then last year they actually ended up with the 13, but unfortunately drew West Virginia in the first round, which wasn't the best matchup for them physically.
Yeah, they took them. I mean, they were right in that game, though. So,
besides this, the rest of the action today was early round action in conference tournaments. Nobody was even in the semifinal round as of today. But let's go through some of the major conferences first. Let's start off in the ACC, where we saw the four second round games. And we got a lot of things to discuss here. Let's go through each of them individually here, because
this is not where we should be starting.
It's not.
The curtain. The curtain.
We'll get to the curtain.
Oh, okay. As long as we get there. It was fabulous.
I'm going to save the best for last, David. We'll save the curtain for last. All right.
Okay.
All right. Louisville, John, beat Florida State in the first second round game. Florida State, I think, is still safely in, but Louisville, you know, are they there? Do they need the game against Virginia tomorrow?
Well, I think you just summed it up right there, because Louisville did show up with a sense of urgency and actually beat Florida State for the second time. I think they're pretty close, but the only two tournament teams they've beaten so far are going to be Florida State as well as Virginia Tech. And as we've noted, they came very close to beating Virginia at home, but if they can beat them in the noontime matinee tomorrow, I would say they definitely have a very good shot of getting in, but you don't want to leave anything to chance in this one.
Well, David, I don't think they have a shot against Virginia, quite honestly. I don't think they're in that same league. So really, assuming they lose that game, I think they could be sweating a lot here.
Oh, they're going to be sweating a lot. If they win tomorrow, they're – no, I mean, they did almost beat them about a week ago or whatever it was, losing in crazy fashion. But, yeah, they're going to be sweating if they don't win. If they do win, I think they're safe, relatively speaking.
Okay. The second game, we saw Boston College upset NC State. There's people out there that say NC State's in trouble. I don't agree with that. I think NC State is there. Then we had Virginia Tech, which you thought had Notre Dame taken care of, and Notre Dame came storming back and won this game, David.
Yeah, Virginia Tech just sprinted out to a huge lead, and then, you know, you were like – in Notre Dame, after a really unimpressive showing against Pittsburgh, and then we're getting blown off the floor against Virginia Tech, you're like, well, that's the end of that. But they are still playing. They have Duke tomorrow. Oh, for crying out loud. Are they going to play their way into the field?
I think if they beat Duke tomorrow, it's a very serious conversation. I know there's people that believe they belong in now even. I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
I might be on the no-name bandwagon if they can beat Duke tomorrow, though, because that is a huge win that makes up for a lot of that bad on the profile.
Yeah, it does.
The last game we saw North Carolina pound Syracuse. So John, the Orange, in or out?
Right now, I would say in, but that's a very tenuous in right now.
Their season's done, so that's their profile is what it is. It's not changing.
Right. So.
All right. Well, David, what close. About tomorrow's games? Do we see? Do you see Notre Dame knocking off Duke, or maybe Boston College keeping their streak alive, taking down Clemson?
Well, under normal circumstances, I would say no, but quarterfinals in conference tournaments are not normal circumstances. In one situation, both those games that you mentioned, Clemson and Duke, all not that they don't want to win, but not winning means they get two extra days off and their seed line takes a hit, maybe, or maybe not. You know, do you really knock a team like what we were always saying for simply not repeating an accomplishment that they've already accomplished? For Boston College and Notre Dame, they're playing for their season. If they lose tomorrow, it could all be over. In the case of BC, at least as far as the NCAA tournament, it is. And we see lots of upsets in the quarterfinal round for that reason, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of them doesn't make it to the semis.
But on the bright side for Boston College, this was the first time since 2006 that they've actually won two games in the ACC tournament.
Right. I'm actually excited about the last game, though. It's not. I don't think there's any bubble implications here whatsoever, but Miami-North Carolina has a chance to be a really fun game. I do think Carolina takes this game, though. I think they are the better team.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. If they in North Carolina might be playing for something, they're sixth place and, you know, they have a little momentum going after a really impressive showing today. You know, they won this tournament last year, didn't they? I think they did.
And then they won a more important tournament last year.
Also won another postseason tournament. So North Carolina, how about that? What is that? That's 11 postseason wins in a row.
All right. Take a look at the Big 12. We had a pair of games, and Dave, let me start off with that first one, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Two big questions coming out of this game with the Cowboys winning Bedlam. Number one, are they in? Number two, are the Sooners out?
No and yes. Or I'm sorry, are they in? No. I think it's no and no. I don't think Okie State's there yet. Now, if they win tomorrow, it's a different story. But Oklahoma, what they say anyways, and we can only go off of what they say, and really when you look at it in recent years, it's what they've done. They do look at everything, and Oklahoma has a lot of good things on their resume. There's certainly a reason to take them out simply because of how weak they've been in conference and how weak they've been really, especially on the road since the end of December, but particularly in the latter part of the season. But they say it's the whole body of work. And if that's the case, then Oklahoma is in.
Right. But again, Oklahoma State, so many nice wins now. I know that their non-conference strength of schedule is garbage, but they play in a conference that has a shot to put 9 teams in out of 10. That's 90%. That's unheard of. I think the record is in the mid-70s somewhere.
Right.
Late game, John, was Texas surviving a tough, tough Iowa State team, a much-needed win may be enough to put Texas in at this point.
And that was a game where Iowa State jumped out by 8 towards the tail end of the first half, but Texas had whittled away at that deficit. I'm not 100% certain they're in with the win today, but it certainly helped them to avoid what would have been a devastating loss. But by the same token, Texas Tech has been very beatable in recent weeks. So if Texas wins that one, I do think they're cemented in.
Yeah, David, a big day here in the Big 12, actually, with Oklahoma State trying to lock in a bid that they may or may not already have. Same with Texas, same with Baylor against West Virginia. And K-State TCU should be a fun one, too.
Yeah, both those teams are – I think both those teams are locks. They're just playing for seeding at this point and playing for – you know, the right to advance in the tournament. Are we going to get to see Kansas State, Kansas again? Always fun when those two teams play. Although there was a member of this conference that was also fun when they met in the conference tournament against Kansas, Missouri, now in the SEC. Really miss Missouri. What? I was trying to finish my thought here about the Big 12 tournament and how the rivalries are great and the tournament's great, but it was also great when Missouri was in it and played Kansas several times.
Too late, David. We've already moved on to the Big East.
Oh, okay.
John, St. John's did take down Georgetown tonight.
Missouri, Kansas, neither of those teams have ever played in this conference, but if they did, it would be a good Big East rivalry.
John, please talk to me about Marquette DePaul, St. John's, Georgetown, something.
I'll start with St. John's here, where the third time was the charm against the Hoyas. This was another game where Georgetown seemed to be starting to pull away towards the end of the first half and also the beginning of the second half. But St. John's also had a 14-point swing in the second half where they took the lead and were actually able to win going away. So that'll set up a noontime matinee against Xavier where the Musketeers really have to watch out for a banana peel, as our colleague Matt would say. But as far as teams that were sweating bullets, it was Marquette's turn to fool around with DePaul. And DePaul actually had a chance to win the game on the final possession. They got a good look from 3, but they ended up missing, and I think it was Andrew Rousey who hit a couple free throws to ice it for Marquette.
Yeah, David, this sets up not only the Xavier St. John's game, but Villanova Marquette tomorrow I think Marquette is probably in now. They could almost definitely be in with that win tomorrow. Also, Creighton Providence, Seton Hall Butler tomorrow.
Yeah, Seton Hall Butler should be fun. Butler, little bubbly, but most likely okay. Still trying to get their first ever Big East tournament win. The Johnnies,
Providence bubbly also, aren't they?
Yeah, they definitely are. Now I picked Creighton to win the tournament, but I think that they're safely in the NCAA without it. But part of me picking Creighton involved the Johnnies beating Xavier. It again, one of those quarterfinal phenomenons where St. John's playing to keep their season alive, Xavier playing for really not much of anything.
Except to solidify a one seed.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. If Xavier avoids a loss to a non-tournament team, and the Johnnies are probably the only one that they would play, is that enough to keep them on the one, even if they lose in the semifinals or finals? I think it is.
I think it depends a lot on what happens. I think it depends on what happens. I think it depends, you know, does Kansas win the Big 12 tournament? Do Duke or North Carolina win the ACC tournament, or does Virginia take that? Those are the questions that will determine Xavier's more so than what they do. I think Xavier can control their own fate by winning this event, and they will be on the one line. I think if they lose, we got to know what happens to those other events.
Yeah, I think Virginia could miss the bus to the game against Louisville tomorrow, and they would still be on the one line.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that. I think Villanova might be able to miss the bus against the Marquette game and still be on the one. But it's the Xavier and the Kansas one seeds right now that I think are susceptible to a Carolina or Duke stealing one of those spots.
But by the same token, with St. John's playing their second game in less than 24 hours, I've got to think they're going to be running on fumes against the Musketeers tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Well, John, we already moved on to the SEC. It's too late.
Because it just means more, I know.
SEC's up there. SEC, it was first round day where we saw two thrilling games with Vanderbilt. South Carolina getting a one-point win over Ole Miss. David, how important were these games for the tournament?
Well, what we've moved into now is the second round of, the round of 12, I guess we would call. Why do we even play opening rounds? You know what I think we should do is that, you would have six opening round games. Just play one tonight, and we'll play five tomorrow. Have a coin top.
Silence.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's games, real interesting early game between A&M and Alabama, and followed by the Missouri-Georgia game, which is the Michael Porter debut we already discussed. David, go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah, we've already discussed it. Okay.
John, what do you see tomorrow? You see, can Georgia pull an upset? Can South Carolina pull an upset? What about that?
I would probably say it's going to be more likely South Carolina could pull an upset. But I think the headline tomorrow is Alabama is now in absolute must-win mode if they want to keep their hopes alive as far as an at-large.
I agree with that. David, interesting game, that the 7 o'clock game, Mississippi State, LSU. Especially Mississippi State still has a way into an at-large bid should they make a run in this tournament, don't they?
It would have to be a hell of a run because up until now, they've been a home court hero. Now, to be fair, I mean, that's better than nothing. I definitely think their program is heading in the right direction. I don't think this year's edition of it is quite to the level of being a tournament team because they've done absolutely nothing away from home. But, yeah, I mean, they get out there, they beat LSU, Tennessee, Florida. You got to start to at least look at them a little bit because all those wins would come away from home.
Okay. It was also first round day today in the Pac-12, and Arizona State, are they done losing to Colorado? This team, if you want to put teams in the NCAA tournament that have a shot to win games in the tournament, I don't want this team anywhere near the NCAA tournament. I don't even want them in the NIT.
Given the way the team was acting after Colorado got a gratuitous dunk at the end of the game, they certainly acted like a team that was just letting loose about a month and a half worth of frustration, where Trey Holder actually shoved the Colorado player, got a flagrant two in the process. And, well, by the way, Tad Boyle may have injured an Achilles while trying to get his team under control.
And he's suspended for whatever the next game is, be it the NIT. I still think they'll end up taking Arizona State. But just, again, this it was just almost a microcosm of the whole season, how everything just came unglued.
The second game of the day, Stanford over Cal. There are people out there that still think Stanford, with a run maybe to the Pac-12 finals, can get an at-large bid. I'm not one of them, but apparently there's a school of thought out there with that.
Well, if they go on a run to the finals and win it, then I think they can get a bid.
Well, I don't think they can at-large bid that way.
No, they could. Automatic at-large. Live on tape delay. It works the same way.
Oregon State, I think, put Washington out of their misery tonight. I think that's it for the Huskies. Our colleague not with us tonight. Maybe, soaking up the sorrows of the end of the season. But I can't see any way the Huskies get a bid at this point. David, like we did last night, we're recording this a little bit early. Oregon, Washington State, not yet final. Want to tell us about what happened in this game for those that are watching after that game does go final?
Well, what's been happening so far is Wazoo, Oregon is asleep and it's late, and Wazoo has jumped out to a lead. But Oregon's going to get it under control. They're still kind of in a rebuilding mode this year. This tournament, even if they don't win it, can give them some momentum either heading into the NIT and next season. Or, you know, if they end up pulling it off, crazier things have happened. Nice comeback win for them, we think. And how about Wazoo advancing after a horrible year?
Yeah, there we go. So either Wazoo advance, Oregon advance, just rewind and listen to the right portion of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. John, quarterfinal day, Arizona, Colorado, UCLA, Stanford, USC, Oregon, Utah against Oregon, Washington State. Your call for tomorrow's games.
Colorado has already beaten Arizona once, but I don't think I'm going to see lightning striking twice in that one. But as far as the other games go, I think both UCLA and USC win, although it won't be easy doing so.
I disagree. I think USC is going to have a very easy time with Oregon State. I think the top four seeds all advance, David. I think we see chalk tomorrow.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see maybe Oregon beating Utah. I'm just not a believer in Utah.
If they play Oregon.
Yeah. Well, if they don't, then I don't think Oregon will beat them.
Okay. Atlantic 10, first round day, where we saw actually a couple of really fun games, including a last-second win there by UMass over LaSalle and a close win by GW over Fordham, David.
Yeah, they were both – I mean, as far as just the excitement level of the games, this was the one to be at. Even with that, John Tietel, our colleague who's covering this tournament, leaves early.
Yeah, he did not stay for the GW Fordham game.
Right.
But he was there for the UMass LaSalle game. You can check out the probably either down or up on the website his photos and his article from his game even.
Well, he wouldn't have left early if the tournament were structured differently. They could do it to where there's six opening round games. We could have played one tonight. What? Wait, I'm trying to help.
John, second round day tomorrow, VCU Dayton, George Mason UMass, Richmond Duquesne, St. Louis GW. Do you see any upsets?
I mean, we would have a nice matchup as far as VCU and Dayton, but unfortunately it's the second round this year, not a championship. But as far as upsets go, I want to say George Washington could knock off St. Louis, but I'm still not trusting of the Colonials, and I'm not trusting of Duquesne, given that they've fallen off since late January.
I think UMSG, George Mason may be the biggest, best upset shot, David.
Yeah, that's one. I don't know. I'll watch all these, but it's hard to get excited about any of them. It's like we just need to get
not
to the quarters.
Next
round is when it gets good.
All right. Let's instead talk Mountain West, where we saw UNLV get by Air Force, also Utah State and Wyoming picking up wins. Nothing actually, the UNLV Air Force game was a fun one. It went overtime.
Shockingly,
in OT.
Yeah, UNLV's been tough at home this year. They actually have a win at home over Nevada this year, and although they certainly did not win at Nevada. And UNLV at times looked really good this year, and I thought that they were capable of making some noise, but they needed overtime today to get that win. The other two games were kind of blah. But a fun kind of quarterfinal day. We got the Nevada-UNLV rivalry, and remember, like, UNLV has beaten Nevada at home. They're at home tomorrow. Fresno State, San Diego State, this is a red-hot San Diego State team. Boise taking on Utah State. They used to be good. And, you know, New Mexico and Wyoming, nobody gets higher. I think that's going to be a good game.
Classic old school game. Yeah, that's an old school Mountain West, old school WAC rivalry. But
yeah.
Let's hope that Wyoming doesn't pull a repeat of last year where they spotted their opponent a 26-0 lead in to start that game.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, probably the four most important games of the entire day was first round of the Sun Belt.
Yeah. Oh, huge. Hugely important. Oh, Chet, real quick on the Mountain West. I know we discussed this yesterday, but talks of adding Gonzaga and BYU, this would give them a 13-team format where they could have five opening round games and play a quintuple header.
Where's the damn mute button? The buzzer's even working with you anymore. John, the Sun Belt. I'm not even going to ask David anything else the rest of the show. Anything stand out for you today? I think it was just kind of mostly chalk there. I mean, the only one mild upset, Texas State over Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, that was kind of surprising because Texas State, I don't think, had won a game since late January, but Appalachian State, I thought that was going to be an upset by Little Rock, but it was a hot, hot, hot beat down in that one.
Hot.
Oh, forget it. You're hot. Both about it.
Appalachian State. Well, cue it up. Where is it? Oh, wait, we got the game tomorrow. All right. You know, this conference could also add another team, and we could have five opening round games in this conference.
We're not going to talk about any more of this conference. The conference is off tomorrow while they put women's games. It won't be back till Friday, so we'll put this conference aside also. Let's go take a look at the Southland. Pair of first round games where New Orleans struck, got by Corpus Christi. John's leaving. Where's he going? He's gone.
Yeah.
Central beat Lamar. David, tomorrow, Sam Houston State, New Orleans, SFA, Central Arkansas.
Kind of looking forward to Sam Houston State, New Orleans. Both of them really, because SFA had real signs of life, like they had the win at LSU earlier, a real close game at Missouri, kind of disappointing in conference play in the sense that this is the first time SFA has played a quarterfinal game in recent memory. And Central Arkansas has been off and on this year. They've probably been more off than on, but when they were on, they were pretty good.
Yeah, they were really good at times. That should be a fun game, actually, the SFA Central Arkansas. New Orleans was a team that was near the top of the standings most of the season, kind of fell down late.
Yeah.
State's a team that was down and made a late run to get to fourth place, so I think we have a pair of really fun games tomorrow, actually.
Yeah, they should be, and ESPN3 has them.
Yeah. MEAC Day. MEAC, we had
two finals. Save the Tigers.
Hampton barely got by Florida A&M, and then Morgan State did pull the upset. Bethune-Cookman heartbreak again. They've had a few good seasons. Every time they do, they seem to go out early in this tournament, though, David.
Yeah, they do. And again, they had a shot at the buzzer that rattled it, and it just did not go down. Hampton had a lead in that game and kind of blew it, didn't they? FAMU kind of came back in that one, I think.
Bethune-Cookman had a lead, and Morgan State came back. So we got one seed and the seventh seed into the semis. The other two quarterfinals tomorrow, North Carolina A&T against Norfolk State. And for the first time, finally, Save the Tigers in action, Savannah State and North Carolina Central. David, why don't you tell people about the Savannah State story?
If you're watching for the first time, it is an unbelievable story. The decision has been made for them by those in power from outside within the state that are outside the university that they can't afford to be to Division I level. So they are reclassifying to Division II. On top of that, they entered the season with an APR ban, and the only reason that they were waiting until the end of next year was because they were contractually obligated to play in buy games, and they didn't want to give up the money and have to buy out of the contract. So this is their second to last year in Division I, but they got the waiver. What a way this would be to put to potentially maybe keep them at Division One if they were to win this tournament and make the NCAA tournament.
The waiver they got was a waiver of their APR ban. That could, they got right. eligible.
Right, yeah, that got them eligible. Yeah. So, but again, just kind of an incredible story, and it's been a fun team to watch. They really run up and down the court. I would say that you should turn into this. It's going to be a really entertaining game. It's always entertaining when they play, and God, I would love to see them win this tournament. I would love it.
It should be a fun one tomorrow. Final two quarterfinals before we move on to semifinals on Friday.
Yeah.
John, if you're back, Conference USA.
Yeah! Woo-hoo-hoo! The curtain.
David, there's nothing greater than seeing two games in the same building at the same time with the world's largest curtain in between the two of them.
Yes. Oh, it was fabulous.
John, what actually happened on these games? Anything that of note that you saw here with these four games we played?
Well, there was a couple mild upsets, at least in terms of seeding, with Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss moving on. But it was also a good chance to, watch a couple multiple streams on Facebook Live. So tomorrow we'll get to see the same thing for what I believe are the B games that are going to be on one side of the court, and Stadium is going to have the A set.
That is awesome.
David, we got some interesting games tomorrow, actually. Doc Sadler's Southern Miss team, I don't know that they've got a shot against Middle Tennessee, but I think this Marshall-San Antonio game could be good. I think the Western Kentucky-UAB game could be really good.
Yeah, it could be. Western Kentucky should win that, although UAB really gave them a scare up at Western Kentucky just a few weeks ago. But some good teams in this tournament. Old Dominion, by the time we get to the semis and even a couple of the quarterfinal games tomorrow, it's going to be really good. Middle Tennessee, you know all about them. Marshall, who's given them fits. I don't think Marshall's going to have that much trouble with San Antonio. So I think the chalk will hold there. Old Dominion shouldn't have any trouble with La Tech. They should blow them out, actually. But Western Kentucky might have some issues with UAB. That one's going to be kind of fun.
John, you're taking Southern Miss to win the whole thing, right?
I probably would. If I were looking for a real fun pick, I probably would be going with Marshall here, so we can at least break out the Dapper Dan wardrobe for the tournament. But yeah. I'm still going to stick with my original pick of Western Kentucky to win the whole thing.
All right, let's move on to some conferences that were not in action tonight, but are going back into action tomorrow. Big Sky had the day off, but tomorrow we've got quarterfinal day: Montana, North Dakota, Weber State, Northern Colorado, Idaho, Southern Utah, Eastern Washington, Portland State. Following that win that we had a lot of discussion about last night. John, you see any upsets tomorrow in these?
Good game.
I know I've picked Idaho to win the whole thing, but keep an eye on Southern Utah, because it did take a buzzer beater from the Vandals just to knock off Southern Utah for the regular season finale. But other than that, I would also
pulled out last night.
Yeah. I say also keep an eye on Northern Colorado and Portland State.
Yeah, I called that Southern Utah game last night, David. I'm look for that upset there. I'm calling it. I know I play for Idaho, but I still don't think I can win it.
Yeah. Again, North Dakota, does this end their tenure in the Big Sky? Probably so.
Back in action in the Mid-American Conference.
Woo! Yes. I'm looking forward to every single game.
Kent State, Toledo, Miami, Eastern Michigan, Akron. Tons of just fun rivalries here. I don't know that. I still think Buffalo's the best team here, but I think we can have four fun games tomorrow, David.
Yeah, we should be able to. Buffalo should win this tournament, but, like you said, I mean, it's a conference with a lot of parity and a conference with a lot of rivalry, and you throw all that together up in Cleveland, and it's a show. I'm looking forward to it.
I guess the biggest long shot is Akron left. John, do you think Akron can keep it going with against Eastern Michigan?
Not Akron, but I do think Mother Miami actually pulls off the upset against Toledo, because I'm not too thrilled with how the Rockets have been closing out their season.
All right. A few conferences that are kicking things off tomorrow. It is opening round day in the American, with thrilling games like UConn-SMU, Memphis, South Florida, Temple, Tulane, UCF, East Carolina. David, huge question here. Does any of these eight teams score more than 50 points tomorrow?
I don't know. UConn-SMU, I mean, that's at least got brand names. I don't think any of them have a chance against Cincinnati the way they've been playing. But Temple-Tulane, two teams that have been really interesting. They've shown that they can play really well at times and really poorly at other times. That one's almost impossible to predict. Temple might win this whole tournament, or they might lose by 30 tomorrow. You just don't know.
Who's winning the whole thing then? Who is your pick?
I'm going to go with Wichita State.
John?
I'm going to go with Cincinnati in the best two out of three falls against Wichita here.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think Cincinnati does win this conference tournament. So let's take a look at a couple others here. Opening round day in the Big West tomorrow.
Yeah, John, Davis.
Any upsets of these? David, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, you were calling on John. I'm the way Santa Barbara has been playing, not so much the way Cal Poly has, but the way Santa Barbara has, you almost have to, like, think that they might go down just because they've been so unimpressive lately.
I think that's possible. I like UC Davis here. I think UC Irvine also had a pretty good season, but I'm going to go a little bit off the board here. John, I'm going to take Long Beach State to win this entire event.
Thing is, if I were going to go completely off the board, I'd probably take Fullerton to win the whole thing, but ultimately, I'm actually going to choose UC Irvine to win the tournament here.
That's my pick as well.
Okay. One more conference starting things off tomorrow night. Western Athletic Conference, the WAC, and the former team of the people, the Grand Canyon Antelopes, their first ever WAC tournament game at 3 o'clock tomorrow against UMKC. David, how about those Lopes?
I think they win it and stay undefeated in WAC tournament play. This is New Mexico State's tournament to lose. They should. They don't have a bye, but they basically do. And so they're already in the semifinals. I know Seattle beat them earlier, but New Mexico State should win this whole thing. It would be a disappointment if they didn't. And they're potentially dangerous in the round of 64. They were great all season long, but they 18 weeks this season for 17 of them, they were fantastic. They just had one bad week.
Yeah, as far as tomorrow goes, I think there's a huge disparity between these top four teams and the bottom four teams of this conference. I don't see any upsets. But, John, who's your pick to win the whole event?
It's not going to be a popular pick here, but I think Utah Valley is actually going to win it because they were the first team to knock off New Mexico State. And I think Grand Canyon, while they're definitely going to have a big fan base, they're probably going to be a little green compared to other teams in this field. So I'm going to take the Wolverines to get what should be their first D1 tournament bid.
I'm going to go with David, take New Mexico State in a close, tough final over the Lopes. I think it'll be a real fun game if that happens.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and pull that down there. And got a few other things we want to put up on the screen share. John, you want to fill us in? I know you did an article. It's on the website. But what happened with our mock tournament selection committee, which began its action tonight? There's some of the results on the screen.
Hey, we got results.
Yeah, so what happened was everyone on our selection committee submitted two different lists to Chad. The first one was going to be our first ballot where you could select up to 36 teams that would be in the tournament no matter what happens. So what happened was we have a list of 28 teams that got 8 out of 10 votes from our committee. And then other teams that would have gotten at least three votes plus a second list that we submitted for teams under consideration. We actually ended up adding, 47 different teams that would have either gotten at least three votes from our committee members, along with other regular season conference champions from Arkansas Pine Bluff to Wagner that would have been added on the board automatically. And also we have one spot reserved for our Centenary Award winner, which we will vote on tomorrow night.
And it won't be
David, I think we can have a little fight about the Centenary tomorrow night, but we're going to have that discussion. And a couple teams are definitely in the running for it, including Delaware State, maybe Chicago State.
Chicago State's not in the running.
Pittsburgh
probably is.
So let me go ahead and pull that down and have a survival board time.
It is time for the survival board. Brought to you by
play today.
Yes. And we normally the survival board does not have a sponsor, but it does tonight. It is brought to you by the Conference USA Tournament Curtain. The Conference USA Tournament Curtain Survival Board at Hoops HD.
The Curtain of Champions.
Yes.
That's where we were heading into play today, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Got it correct. Mm-hmm. And let's see what happened as a result of play today first, and then we'll go over what all these numbers mean. But there were 197 teams eligible to win the NCAA tournament heading into play today.
Yep.
And we're down to 173. Could drop to 172 if Oregon is able to come back and beat Washington State tonight, but at least probably at 173 heading into tomorrow. And David, can you tell people what all these different ways that teams are explained are and what the purpose of this board is?
Well, the purpose of this board is to assist the committee. It was a very busy night. It's going to be busy again tomorrow. All these conference tournaments, then the power conference tournaments in action. And there's 351 teams, and they just need help. I mean, that's a lot to keep track of. So what we do is we keep track of it for them, and then they can come to this board while they're meeting. They're actually meeting tonight is when they first got together, for their pasta dinner. They're probably watching us right now. And it's just an information thing. So it tells them a couple of things. First is who the automatic qualifiers are. You see those in bold and all caps. These are conference champions. They won conference tournaments. They're in the tournament. The other teams you see that are bold, they may win their conference tournaments, but they may not. I don't think those five teams, I don't think all of them are going to win the SEC tournament. Maybe they will, but I only think one or two of them will. But they're all going to make the NCAA tournament. You see other teams right there in italics. That means you need to talk about them. You need to look at them. Maybe you take them. Maybe you don't. That's kind of the hardest part, wouldn't you say, Chad, is because that's the one that there may not be sure whether you take teams or not.
Right. And so at this point, if the committee's in the room and they say, should Kentucky be in? The looks either in bold. We don't have to discuss it anymore. Let's move
on. Right, yeah, they're in, now yes.
Now they say, should Alabama be in? Well, now we've told them, you've got to have a nice long discussion about that. At this point, we don't know. But then they say, should South Carolina be in? Hey, they were in the Final Four. Should South Carolina be back in? Only if they win the SEC tournament. They're not in italics.
And they're not in italics, and that is a mistake. Like, had it not been for this board, that's a mistake that the committee might make because they were in the Final Four last year. So it's a good thing that they come here, see that they're not in italics, and know not to take them.
And what if they say, I wonder if Ole Miss should be in? Should we discuss them?
Well, Ole Miss isn't even there,
So don't even think about that. Don't even ask that question. They're not there.
All right.
So committee. You're welcome again from us here at Hoops HD. We helped you out a lot, I think.
Yeah, we do.
And on that note, David, are we done?
No. Well, I've answered every trivia question right. We've got bogus trivia questions. We've got a rigged system here where just Chad is completely wrong about everything.
For those of you that have not been following us, we have a trivia question. David has been locked
in. That I've answered correctly every single night, but yet I'm still locked in this bunker.
As long as he answers one question, our panel of Hoops HD experts has asked questions. We've got the answer sealed in the envelope. If he gets he gets out of the puppet bunker. John, are we ready for tonight's question? All right, he gave me a thumbs up. David, the first ever NCAA tournament was played in 1939.
It was.
Who won it?
Well,
you should know this one. Come on.
I do know this one. And it's kind of wild because they won the first one ever, and then they never, ever made a Final Four since then. Several Elite Eights, but no Final Four until last year when the Oregon Ducks finally got back to the Final Four. Oregon won the first one. It was played in Chicago. That's who it was. Again, another common knowledge question that Oregon won the first NCAA tournament.
John, you think he's getting out of the bunker? You think he got it right?
I'm getting out of the bunker. I got it right.
All right,
I
know. Let's see here. Let's see. David, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you got this wrong also.
I didn't get it wrong. I got it right. What the hell? No.
The answer, of course, is Tim Miles.
What he was the coach. He didn't win it all by himself. He did win it by himself, but like it was Oregon that got credit
Tim
for
Miles, your hero, won the first NCAA tournament. That's why he's your hero.
Well, he invented the NCAA tournament. He wins it whenever he wants to. Right. He's going to win it this year.
The bigger accomplishment for Tim Miles was making the MEAC bonus game in the AC8 last year.
Tim Miles would want me out of the puppet bunker. Like that, I got that one right. Okay, one I got it. I got to admit, I do think your experts were right about that one.
I told you. You've been complaining about my experts. They were right. John, any final thoughts for the night?
We alluded to it earlier as far as Grand Canyon having a large following. They sold out their student ticket allotment and also bought an extra 100. So my understanding is they're going to be represented by at least 800 students in their section going up to the conference tournament in Las Vegas. So best of luck to the Lopes in their quest for their first NCAA tournament bid.
Lopes up. Yes. David.
You just kind of love how the Lopes, just to piggyback off that a little bit, have really gotten behind that team, really embraced that team. It is a great ambassador for the university, and it's really cool to see something like that because a lot of programs don't have that. Anyway, final thoughts. Tomorrow is the Thursday of championship week. Well, the second Thursday. There is only one second Thursday of championship week every year. It's typically one of the busiest days, not necessarily of the whole year, but it's in the top three or four, wouldn't you say, the first day of the year being the busiest. Feast week during Thanksgiving when we have all the exempt tournaments. And, you know, this is definitely in the top three. Every game tomorrow, we just went through them all. All stakes games, all conference tournament games, no bye games whatsoever. It is probably of all, as much fun as championship week is, tomorrow is the best day of it, and it is every year, and it's here again.
Yep, it is. It's going to be a real fun day. Hope you have about 10 computers and 15 TVs to watch all these games.
Right.
I think David, that's one thing we did give him in the puppet bunker. But on behalf of John Slica and David Griggs, I do want to thank you for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another chance for David to get out of the bunker as we review all that crazy action we're going to see. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.